morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning. Welcome to Catholic Community of Faith, and I'm Father Greg Sackowitz, pastor of St. Mary of the Woods on Chicago's Northwest Side.
We're 3 seconds early. Does that mean we get a little something extra in our paycheck this weekend for that? For this extra labor of love we have here?
An extra half a blessing.
Extra half.
9 o'clock. And I'm again Father Greg Sackowitz, and interrupted by co-host Wayne Majors, Vice President
and Chief of Staff,
Loyola University.
And today is a special day because it is Father Greg's 56th birthday.
Oh, happy birthday.
And Brian Brock, our engineer, was kind enough to pull February 20th birthday of people, famous people, but not as quite as famous as Father Greg, who share the same birthday. Just to mention a few, Jackie Gleason. Kelsey Grammer, Cindy Crawford, whom you probably know and have met on several occasions at some of your parish functions. And then, of course, Brian's got to sneak in an NHL hockey center, Phil Esposito.
Oh, yeah.
And also the former Bears kicker, wasn't he? Tom, who?
Oh, receiver.
Wide receiver. Tom Waddle.
Tommy Waddle.
Tommy Waddle, yes. He's not quite as old as you are, but happy birthday and many more.
Well, thank you very much, Wayne and Brian Hitman and Michael and Jim.
If we didn't mention it, no one would have known.
I would have said it myself.
Except for the sign that was in the parking lot on the way in.
never a dull moment. And it. And also, our producer says, in honor of my birthday, the second half of the program deals with grief counseling.
That's right.
We got a bunch of comedians here this morning here on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. Maybe some of the callers want to chime in with their own one-liners. 312-255-8408, 312-255-8408. Well, thank you to all of you for the birthday wishings and blessings. And I want to thank my mother in a very special way for putting up with me for 56 years. So God bless you, Mom, and whole family.
And she called you this morning.
Yes, she did. Yes, and I got her envelope.
God bless her.
And it, I got the birthday card. So I want to get right to the program here on Catholic Community of Faith, Relevant Radio 950. Time is 9:02 on this Friday morning in Chicago with heavy snow due late tonight and into tomorrow. Great show lined up. We have in guest studio Father Bob Lombardo, a Franciscan friar of the Renewal, and Father Bob established the mission of Our Lady of the Angels in the former rectory and is seen as a catalyst behind Kelly Hall YMCA in the West Humboldt Park neighborhood. Kelly Hall YMCA evolved out of the combined efforts of the Archdiocese of Chicago, the YMCA of Metropolitan Chicago, and the Greater Chicago Food Depository. This is Father Bob's major pet project, you want to call it, love. And he's very passionate about how such a project can positively influence an underprivileged neighborhood. Father Bob Lombardo, welcome to Catholic Community Faith.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
And great to have you. Now, as a way to kind of introduce us regarding the mission of Our Lady of the Angels and Kelly Hall, a couple weeks ago on Channel 7, WLS Television had the program Sanctuary, a half-hour program, an excellent job, excellent work done by Jim Dish and Michael May and Brian Brock producing the program. And part of the program, Sanctuary, on Channel 7 a few weeks ago, dealt with the mission of Our Lady of the Angels. So we're going to go to a report led by Diane Dunnigan.
It may be cold and snowy outside, but things are warming up inside as the Orr High School Gospel Choir helps celebrate the opening of the Kelly Hall YMCA. Located at Chicago and Hamlin Avenues in West Humboldt Park, the Kelly Hall YMCA is a beacon of hope in one of Chicago's poorest neighborhoods.
We're hoping that this will become a real anchor in this community and be a destination for children, for families, for grandmas and grandpas. So it'll be busy 365 days a year, 7 days a week, with a variety of age appropriate from probably 5 years old to 95 years old.
Cardinal George blessed the renovated building in mid-January, beginning a new chapter in the history of Kelly Hall. The original structure was built in 1968 as a community center, a living memorial to the victims of the Our Lady of the Angels school fire 10 years earlier. Our Lady of the Angels Parish merged with St. Francis of Assisi in 1990, and its school building closed in 2000. The parish center sat vacant, and this is how the interior looked just last spring. But that was then, and this is now.
Food will be on the table for hundreds of men and women and children, and together we look forward to the opportunity of addressing all of the other challenges that are ultimately the gateway to hope for this community.
Kelly Hall offers after-school programs for neighborhood children, exercise facilities, activities for seniors, a computer lab, fitness center, food pantry, the list goes on. And it's all because of a partnership bringing together the Archdiocese of Chicago, the YMCA of Metropolitan Chicago, and the Greater Chicago Food Depository. At the center of all the activity is Father Bob Lombardo, a Franciscan friar of the Renewal, who came to Chicago 4 years ago. He established the Our Lady of the Angels Mission in the former rectory and is seen as the catalyst behind the Kelly Hall YMCA.
I see this facility bringing hope to the neighborhood, and that's one of the things that I think is beautiful. It's a tough neighborhood. It's had a lot of knocks over the years, and now we're seeing that people are coming together with hope for a better tomorrow. You know what? Bad times bring out the best in us. It rallies the American people, and that's also part of our faith, death, resurrection. So the difficult times lead way to better times in the future, and that's what we hope for.
The thing I like about for coming to Kelly Hall is we get to play games and get to go down to the gym. Keeps kids off the streets. Give kids a place to do things like their homework and keep them out of trouble.
We like do our homework first when we come in, put our coats up and stuff, and then when everybody done with their homework, we play games.
The Kelly Hall YMCA, an example of organizations working together for the common good. For the Church, the Cardinal, and you, I'm Diane Dunnigan.
And thanks to Diane from the Sanctuary Program for that piece. Father Bob, this has got to be incredibly fulfilling and rewarding from you to see in such a short period of time, relatively to a lot of other agencies and programs that do what Kelly Hall attempts to do, all of the lives you have touched, right?
Well, to be quite honest with you, there's a great saying, get out of God's way. And that's what I've tried to do. I think that the Lord hears the cry of the poor. And out there on the west side of Chicago, it's one of the poorest neighborhoods in Chicago, and I think that the Lord was trying to do something there, and he really brought together a lot of people. It was actually spearheaded by Cardinal George, who invited me here to Chicago to work on the West Side. So it was really his brainchild, and I sort of opened the doors, worked the keys. And that
now, Father Bob, where did you serve before coming to Chicago?
Prior to coming in Chicago, I was in New York for 20 years. I was running facilities for the homeless. We had free medical and dental clinics, a food pantry. And one of the projects that I was in charge of for 18 years was one of the larger SRO, single room occupancy, for formerly homeless men who suffered from mental illness and some type of addictions.
Are you seeing a greater demand for what Kelly Hall does now, especially over these last several months when the economy has really taken a hit?
We are. You know, none of us has a crystal ball when we look off into the future. But when we were planning this, this was a horrible neighborhood in terms of levels of poverty. And now we're seeing a tremendous increase. For example, at our food pantry, we're seeing three times the number of families coming for help.
As compared with when?
About a year ago.
Wow.
We'll talk a little bit more about what Kelly Hall does. We're talking with Father Bob Lombardo on about the mission of Our Lady of the Angels. And you're listening to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. It's 9:09 on our Friday morning. Wayne Madger is along with Father Greg Sackowitz, and we'll be right back.
If you're a young person aged 13 to 30, you're invited to the Bread of Life Retreat. It's scheduled for February 27th to March 1st at St. Benedict's Parish on West Irving Park Road in Chicago.
Join hundreds of young people for 3 days of prayer, adoration, singing, and learning more about our Catholic faith. Cardinal Francis George and Bishop Gustavo Garcia Sierra will be present to celebrate Mass and speak to our youth.
This Eucharistic-centered retreat will transform youth from being passive Christians to being active disciples of Jesus Christ.
Visit our website at www.breadoflifechicago.org or call 773-588-6484 for more information.
That's www.breadoflifechicago.org or call 773-588-6484.
Register today and be part of the Bread of Life retreat that will open hearts and change lives.
Real men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need.
I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298 or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
Welcome back to Catholic Community Faith. I'm Father Greg Sackowitz along with Wayne Majars on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. Our phone number, 312-255-8408 to call in and ask maybe a question of our guest, Father Bob Lombardo, a Franciscan Friar of the Renewal. And Father Bob established the mission of Our Lady of Angels in the former rectory and is seen as a catalyst behind the Kelly Hall YMCA in the west side of Chicago. Father Bob, something you said with your interview with Diane Dunnigan, which was on the television program Sanctuary a few weeks ago, you are giving hope and bringing hope. And I realize that, you know, as priests, we're not bringing the Lord to anybody. Some of the Lord is working through us, and the Lord is present in people to elicit the goodness from them. So say something more about that sense of bringing and giving hope in the community.
Sure, I'd be happy to. The way that I see it, when people are in an economically depraved situation, and that includes many factors, I think that our faith really impels us, to use the words of St. Paul, being in the year of St. Paul, impels us to do something. Our Lord says very clearly in Matthew 25, when I was hungry, you gave me to eat. When I was thirsty, you gave me to drink, etc. And so we have an obligation to take those words seriously. And when we do, I think we bring hope, not our hope, but the hope of Christ and the church. And also St. Francis taught us to preach and use words if necessary. So sometimes just our living out of Christianity is a homily. They're easier to give, less prep time, and so you just get out there, roll up your sleeves, and do it.
And they're usually right on topic.
I hope so. I hope so. Well, when people are
right
hungry, if you give them food, that usually satisfies a need.
So, so much of what you do, Father Bob, is dependent on volunteers to make it all run. And I know at Loyola we've established a connection now, and we're starting to help out as much as we can with our student base. But talk a little bit about where you get some of your volunteers from, and maybe a story or two that particularly touched you about a volunteer's experience at Kelly House.
Sure. If I could start off with a story first, I think that would be important. This past Thanksgiving, I was really impressed. We had some students from our local Catholic high schools coming in to volunteer over the years. Several have graduated, and I was impressed. We must have received about 10 phone calls from students who are now in college, coming home for Thanksgiving break, wanting to know what they could do. They wanted to come back to the mission to serve. And to me, that's very important. When young people want to be involved in any aspect of the church, I see great hope. Now, we have volunteers coming from all over. I'm very grateful for the connections with Loyola. We have some connections with DePaul, the Notre Dame Club of Chicago, the Marquette Club of Chicago, various parishes, the Knights of Columbus, the Order of Malta. I could go on and on with the different groups. Once a month, we have a major food giveaway where we distribute not only canned goods and non-perishables, but also fresh fruit, fresh vegetables. Everyone gets a shopping cart filled with food. And we service about 300 families at that event. And we average 100 to 150 volunteers.
That's just amazing. And the thing is now, we'll say this a couple of times, but if someone were to be generous at this moment and would like to make a monetary donation, give us a phone number, Father Bob.
Sure. They can call me at 773-486-8431.
That number once again.
773-486-8431. Or they could check our website, which is missionola.com.
Missionola.com.
Yes.
Something else you said was interesting on the television program Sanctuary when you said, during bad times, it brings out the very best in people. And I think just that story you shared about people calling you, coming back from college, wanting to help in some way, that there's no question the economy we are in right now, this is incredibly terrible times. And the very fact that you are seeing such an increase within the poor community that's already poor and getting worse. So maybe a question I have for you. I see you here, sitting here, which of course our listeners can't, and you're filled with life and faith and hope and tremendous stories, but what gets you through the tough days?
To be quite honest with you, and it might sound a little bit simplistic, it's my relationship with the Lord.
Say more about that.
Well, daily Mass for me is essential, and then to have a life of prayer is very important. In our particular Franciscan community, we try to spend at least 1 hour a day in front of the Blessed Sacrament in prayer. And it's the nourishment that I receive that enables me to go out into an area that is depraved. And it's actually depressing. I mean, to be quite honest with you, you have boarded up buildings and it's an environment that just does not lift your spirits.
But don't you have days in which you sometimes feel overwhelmed? I mean, you walk out of the rectory and off the air, I have to tell the listeners, I said, Franciscans tend to live in community. And I said, well, Father Bob, where do you live? He says, well, I live in the rectory. I said, with whom? He said, my German Shepherd and the Blessed Sacrament. And, two wonderful safeguards. But somehow you leave the rectory, you're going up and down the blocks, one story after another of single-parent families, loss of jobs, high crime, drugs, and, you could probably write a book on the experiences you have gone through the last couple of years.
And, if I wrote a book, the first half of it would be on the positives. The most grateful people on the planet are the very poor.
That's true.
For example, when people come for food, they always say, Father, I really would prefer to be going to work, not coming for food. Do you know of where there are jobs? You try to give them a couple of tips if you know of anything. And then you hand them something and immediately, thank you so much. You ask, how are you doing? I'm blessed today. So it's hopeful.
Also the word thank you. What people sometimes forget is the word Eucharist. The word Eucharist means giving thanks, thank you. And despite the hard times, we have so much to be grateful for, to develop an attitude of gratitude.
And I want to pick up on that idea of the faith, not only that pulls you through some of the challenging times, but also how you see that play out among the people that you help and also those volunteers. When we come back, you're listening to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. We're talking with Father Bob Lombardo with our mission of Our Lady of the Angels, and we'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know experiencing the sadness of infertility? Are you committed to spreading the gospel of life? Then join us on Saturday, March 28th at the Marriott O'Hare for a major conference on Dignitas Personae, the new Vatican instruction on bioethics. Dr. Thomas Hilgers, a pioneer in assisting infertile couples to have children, will present on NAPRO technology. Neuroscientist Father Tad Boholchik will discuss the Church's guidance on artificial reproductive technologies. Cardinal George will present on the dignity of the human person, and Bob Gilligan will discuss key legislative issues that impact our faith. This event is sponsored by the Archdiocese of Chicago Respect Life Office, the Office for Evangelization, and Relevant Radio. Attendance is $35 and includes breakfast, lunch, parking, and materials. For more information or to register, go to www.respectlifechicago.org or call 312-534-5355.
The Jewish and Catholic communities of Chicago will co-sponsor the 14th annual Joseph Cardinal Bernardin Jerusalem Lecture on Thursday, March 26th at 7 p.m. at the Lincoln Park campus of DePaul University. Professor John Levinson will speak on monotheism and chosenness, the Abrahamic foundation of Judaism and Roman Catholicism. Dr. Levinson is Albert A. List Professor of Jewish Studies at Harvard Divinity School and recently co-authored Resurrection, The Power of God for Christians and Jews with Kevin Madigan of Harvard Divinity School. At the lecture, His Eminence Francis Cardinal George will attend and greet the audience. The date again is Thursday, March 26th at 7 p.m. Admission is free, but reservations are requested. Please call 312-534-5325 to reserve your place. That number again is 312-534-5325. We hope to see you there.
And welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio, 9:50 a.m.
He doesn't look 56, does he, Father Bob?
Not at all.
Okay, because you interrupted me, take the microphone, headphone set off,
you don't
go
look,
in the corner,
you look a day
face
over
the wall
56.
Again, think about what you did. Oh, you're truly sorry. Come back, sit down.
Well, you know, the phones
and
have been
tell
ringing,
our listeners,
the phones have been ringing off the hook since we started with these, with many of your fans wanting to wish you a happy birthday. So on their behalf, rather than keeping them on hold for another 20 minutes, happy birthday again.
Well, I'll add my best wishes and happy birthday. And
thank you, Bob.
Yeah,
the only thing is, Bob, you truly mean it. Wayne doesn't. I know that about him. I can tell.
You guys have to branch out to a comedy version of Relevant Radio.
We do. It's on our subcarrier.
There you go.
Father Bob Lombardo was with us. He is with
the
Mission of Our Lady of the Angels. Father Bob, before the break, we were talking about your faith that – now, behave now.
You started.
Your faith in getting you through the tough days and times and the good work you do over at Kelly Hall. But you must also see that growing of faith, of spirit, within not only the people that you serve within your neighborhood, but also those volunteers, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's interesting. When we do the volunteer days, whatever we have going on, we always try to have adoration going on. So we have teams of people in the chapel praying, whether it's a half hour or an hour shift. And we try to provide things to help people to pray. So we'll have Bibles available for people. We'll have some things, inspirational things from the treasures of our Catholic faith available outside of the chapel as well. That's something that's very, very important. The other piece that I think is very important as well, again, it's a Catholic presence. We're in an area that is almost exclusively Afro-American and Baptist. And it's fascinating.
Tell the listeners how they have welcomed you.
Oh, my gosh.
The example you gave us.
Well, at the break, I was saying, I feel like I was welcomed in like the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia. You know, at first, they probably thought I came out of the Canterbury Tales, you know, because still wearing the habit, you know. But they came up, and they knew it was associated with God in some way. And they're like, you know.
And it took a while to shake the Your Highness title that they were getting, right?
Yeah, that took about 10 seconds. Right. And then, but they're a deeply
they have really
spiritual,
welcomed you.
Oh my gosh, welcomed me. They protect the whole area. This is interesting. During the construction of Kelly Hall, I should say the renovation, it was a $2.5 million gut rehab. So it was a major undertaking. I met with the neighbors in the alleys and I said, look, we're going to be starting this. This is what we hope to do when it's finished. And I had been keeping them up to date. And I said, I really need your help. Please, please keep an eye on this building. We did not have one instance of theft or graffiti during the whole construction.
Wow.
And Ryan Construction, they're a national firm, very large. They do strip malls and all kinds of shopping malls. Usually they have to hire a security guard when it gets to a certain point because of theft of copper piping and things like that. We had not one instance, and we did not have to hire a security guard. That's how the neighbors have rallied around. And
wow.
That's something that I see as very beautiful. And I think it shows how even though as a Catholic priest, I mean, I have no parish there, there's really nothing to speak of, yet there's something that's beginning there.
I mean, that's an amazing story that in a very tough, poor neighborhood, but the people have truly rallied around what you're doing and that they see you as that beacon of hope in a poor, poor community. And the thing is now, what are the future plans? You've talked about where things are now, but where do things hope to go?
Okay.
And where can people who are listening help in different ways?
Okay. We desperately need your help for volunteer opportunities, especially tutoring the young kids after school. We have 550 young kids involved with the after-school programs right now. We're bursting at the seams, and most of them could use individual tutoring.
Now, again, that phone number to be a tutor to call you.
773-486-8431.
And beside the tutoring, what else could people volunteer in different levels or ways?
We have all kinds of things going on to keep up the clothing room, sorting out donations when they come in, that type of thing. The food pantry to keep that going. We're starting, we've begun already, programs for the elderly, and we met with them. They would like a Bible study. We're going to start a study of St. Paul this coming Tuesday. So we need help with that. We'll have a lunch for the elderly. One of the other ways that we really need help, the Baptists were babysitting the former convent for us, and we took it back the day before the stock market took a dip
Wow.
for the first time. So we do need some help to get the convent repaired. There are some major things like the plumbing turned into be more of a disaster than we had thought till you get in there and start to fiddle around. So we need some financial help, and we also need some volunteer help with the painting and those type of things once we can get some of those major repairs completed.
The thing is, all the things you mentioned, are you orchestrating all of this, Bob?
One thing, the only gift that I really have, I have a degree in business from Notre Dame. I'm an accounting major.
No kidding.
So
wow.
I'm an organized person. And
Notre Dame, is that the place in Indiana?
Yeah, it's that.
It's the other side of the.
It's that small place in the snow belt. It's usually buried under snow for most of the year.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
It's
the place that used to have a good football and basketball team.
That's right.
Do you ever have a day off?
You know, we don't take a day off. So I wouldn't know what to do with myself to take a day off, to be quite honest with you. I like to work. You know, I have a lot of books on my shelf that have bookmarks in them between
– To be read.
Well, they're in process. I've started 10 pages or whatever.
Sounds like me.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to retiring someday. But I don't know if it's going to be in the near future.
Well, you know, it's something that just occurred to me too is there are a lot of institutions, both high schools and more so universities, that organize service days for groups of students. And I just wrote myself a note here to talk with some of our folks back at the university, because it sounds like so much of what you're doing would be a perfect fit to have 50 students, faculty, and staff come and paint a school in 3.5 hours, which
– Are they the same ones that painted your house a couple months ago?
Yes, I was the service
call
project.
Tuition-based program.
But have you seen groups like that come forward too?
Oh, definitely. We have St. Clement's does a big work day. DePaul has already had several student days where about 30 or 40 students will come out. Mm-hmm. We'll actually even like clean the neighborhood. And the people love it, and they'll come out and pitch in. We also have a group coming up in 2 weeks from Virginia Tech. They'll be spending 8 days with us. So it'll be a service opportunity and a retreat opportunity. So, for example, we expose them to the Liturgy of the Hours. We have daily mass. We have theological reflection in the evening. So it's a beautiful experience for the young people to hook into our faith in a different environment.
We need to bring this first half hour to a close, but Father Bob, before we go off the air, again, the phone number to people to help out in a monetary way or way of time. Give us that number once again.
773-486-8431.
Lent is less than a week away. This would be a terrific opportunity to do something positive.
That's exactly right. And so
I agree.
You're listening to Catholic Community Faith. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz along with Wayne Majors. And I want to thank Father Bob Lombardo, a Franciscan Friar of the Renewal, who's really developed the mission of Our Lady of the Angels. Father Bob, thank you for joining us. Stay with us. We'll be back after a break, and do not touch that dial.
Thank you very much.
The cemetery ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. Cardinal George says, "It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection." There are 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries willing to help you during times of loss. Call 708-449-6100 for assistance. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
Do you know what's going on in your church around the corner or around the world? Do you want to hear stories about your faith? Do you want to help shape Catholic thought? If you said yes, subscribe to the Catholic New World, the newspaper for the people of the Archdiocese of Chicago. Call 312-655-7777 or visit us at CatholicNewWorld.com. The Catholic New World, a world beyond your church, a church beyond your world.
We asked people all over America, what have you done for your marriage today?
It's a good question.
Boy, I gave a huge hug this morning, like a really big squeeze.
I took the baby while she worked.
I got up with the baby while he slept.
Yeah. We've actually organized a date night tonight.
I cooked my husband's favorite breakfast.
Well, I've done today what I usually do, and that is obey.
What have you done for your marriage today? Don't forget the small stuff. Need ideas? Go to foryourmarriage.org. A message from the Catholic Communication Campaign.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 AM, the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Welcome back to Catholic Community Faith, and I'm Father Greg Sackowitz, pastor of St. Mary of the Woods on Chicago's Northwest Side, and co-host Wayne Majors, vice president and chief of staff of Loyola University. Time is 9:32 on this. Today's actually a very nice Friday in terms of weather until late tonight. I think get our shovels and snow plows ready because, 4 to 6 inches expected.
Of course, it's when they don't predict it that you have to worry. So.
And you're trying to get out of town tomorrow morning, Wayne.
I'm keeping my fingers crossed.
And that you might
don't
be in town.
Say it. Don't say it. I will be suicidal if I can't get out of here for a few days.
You'll be running down the runway.
Right, I will.
To get out of town. Well, we have with us a very important segment, and our phone number, 312-255-8408. We have with us in studio Lori Obrish, Vice President of Rainbows, the largest international nonprofit charity dedicated exclusively to helping the world's children cope with grief associated with the loss of a parent through death, divorce, deployment, or incarceration. Lori, welcome to Catholic Community of Faith.
Thank you for having me today.
Great to have you. And we also have with us on phone, by the phone, is Amy Florian. And Amy is a liturgy and bereavement consultant, grief coach, and the former executive director of Starless USA. Amy is the author of numerous articles and an adjunct professor at, hear this, Wayne, Loyola University, Dominican, and St. Xavier University. Amy has published two books, Sign and Symbol, Word and Song, with Ave Maria Press, and The Mass, an invitation to enjoy it through ACTA Publications. And Amy gave a talk recently at our parish at St. Mary of the Woods on the area of suffering. an outstanding speaker. Amy, welcome to Catholic Community of Faith.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Great to have both of you here. And first of all, maybe explain to our listeners, Lori, exactly what is Rainbows. I know that Susie Yale Marta, or Marta Yale, started it, but now what is your involvement?
Well, as the vice president, I met Susie 25 years ago when Rainbows was starting. I came from a situation in my family as a teenager where our parents died, and there were seven siblings with me. And I really realized that it was time at that time to get some support for my brothers and sisters, but there wasn't anything out there. So similar to what Susie experienced with the divorce, we thought that we would just get together and try to put together in Chicago a small support group for these kids. And we realized very quickly there wasn't anything else going on. And what we do at Rainbows is the only type of curriculum that covers what a loss situation is for the child, whatever that loss situation is. And we also are the only organization that has training to train volunteers, whether they be clinicians or not clinicians, to use our curriculum materials and to help the kids get their thoughts around their loss and figure out how to live with that change and talk in the feelings language about what's been happening to them.
And Lori, where does it start? When a parent dies and a young son or daughter begins to now start to deal with that, if they have siblings, if they don't have siblings, I would imagine there's a long list of variables that makes every case unique. But what typically happens and how do you get connected with that family or that young person to begin the healing process?
Some of the schools will automatically reach out to those children if they're already Rainbow sites. Yeah. We get a lot of calls at the office from parents where something has happened, and they'll say, link me up with a site. Or they also help us to go to their own child's school and sometimes get it started, or their own church. Because when a parent calls or says, to a principal, I really like this program, my child really needs it, it gives us more weight to get in there and start working with that site to get started. And we have directors and people across the country that are those people that get those programs started for the parents.
And now Amy Florian, who is really a consultant, a grief coach, talks on grief, talks on suffering. How did you get involved in this whole area, when you gave a talk recently in St. Mary of the Woods on suffering? What has been your own story, Amy?
Well, just like most people, including my other guest here, it comes from personal experience. I married my high school sweetheart when we were 19 years old. We wanted to have a large family. I'm the third of 10 children. He was the youngest of five. Unfortunately, I got pregnant and the baby died. I got pregnant again and the baby died. I got pregnant again and we finally had a perfect healthy baby boy. And when that baby boy was 7 months old, my husband was killed in a car accident.
Wow.
So my own personal experience, by the time I was 25, I'd experienced the deaths of two unborn children and the death of the light of my life. So I was in a little town in rural Iowa. There was no such thing as a support group. No one knew what to do with a 25-year-old widow who had a 7-month-old child. I healed by the grace of God. When I was given the opportunity to turn around and help other people have what I didn't have, I jumped at that chance. I've been writing, speaking, and teaching, facilitating support groups for widowed people and grieving people ever since then, and that was 28 years ago.
We're going to go to a break here on Catholic Community of Faith, and we're going to come back with Amy and with Lori. We want to talk more about how does one handle the death of a loved one or divorce, not only for the adult level but for the children. 312-255-8408 with your own questions here on Relevant Radio 950. Father Greg Sack was along with Wayne Majors. Stay with us. We'll be back right after a break.
Democracy is a wonderful thing, but how many of us really take part in exercising the freedoms we are so blessed to have in this country? Now here's your chance to let your voice be heard.
Wednesday, March 4th is Catholics at the Capitol Day. the Catholic Conference of Illinois invites you to join hundreds of Catholics in Springfield as we talk to lawmakers about key faith-based issues.
Let's push for legislation to decrease abortions, protect traditional marriage, support Catholic charities, hospitals, and nursing homes, and to get our Catholic schools the financial support they deserve.
1,000 Catholic school children, Cardinal George, our bishops, clergy, and laity will descend on Springfield. Join us.
Visit CatholicConferenceOfIllinois.org or call 312-368-1066 for details. That's CatholicConferenceOfIllinois.org or 312-368-1066.
We hope to see you in Springfield on Wednesday, March 4th for Catholics at the Capitol Day. Let's live our democracy.
You're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
Cardinal George begins a series of visits to Chicago area parishes to discuss the recent Synod of Bishops on the Word of God in the life and mission of the Church. New scholarships are announced to assist Catholic school families that have been financially crippled by unemployment. And Catholic charities and parishes across the Archdiocese reach out to help feed the hungry during these tough economic times. We'll talk to Cardinal George about these stories and more during this latest edition of The Church, the Cardinal, and You.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You, compelling television about your Archdiocese.
And welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio, 950 AM, 941 in the morning. Not just your typical Friday morning, but a very special Friday morning that it is February 20th. Just 56 short years ago, a bouncing baby boy came into this world, and who would have ever thunk that he would have grown up to be Father Greg Sackwitz?
You know, Wayne,
on that note, we'll give you just a moment to all collect your thoughts.
A moment of silence.
Re-welcome our guests, Lori Olbrich. Vice President.
My brother said I was a war baby. As soon as my parents saw me, they started fighting.
Lori Olbrich, Vice President of Rainbows, which is actually the largest now international nonprofit charity dedicated to helping our young children cope with grief. And Amy Florian is on the phone, a bereavement counselor and also executive director, former executive director of Staros USA. Amy, I want to ask you, you've worked with bereavement counseling in both with both adults and also with children. Are there more things that are similar, or are there more things that are dissimilar in dealing with different age groups, especially in dealing with grief? Amy, are you there?
Amy, have we lost you?
I'll tell you, Lori, you jump in with that question. We'll get Amy back.
In our experience at Rainbows, because we do have adult programs also, it's sometimes hard to get to the adults to talk because they have lots of walls. I mean, we've built up our protections as adults. But once they get started in an atmosphere that's confident and confidential for them and also makes them feel comfortable, they usually do go through the sessions with no problem. What we found with the children is that first we have to teach them the feelings words. They have to be able to understand how to portray their feelings. And then once they learn to do that, not just in the groups, but even within their families, they can talk and share with people and tell people how they feel so that they'll have a support system and they'll also have that vocabulary to get people to understand where they're coming from.
And when young children have brothers or sisters that are around their age, does that make it easier or is it more difficult to manage all that?
Everything depends on the family dynamic. I think sometimes, and I'll just go back to my very own experience, we were not told to talk about our parents, or especially my mother who died first. No one said anything when I went back to school. So I thought, well, that's what you do with grief. You just don't talk to anybody about it, no matter how you felt. So I know that's how my brothers and sisters did it. Yeah. And, you know, some families are much more open about their grief situation, and others aren't.
I do know this. One of the best lines I ever heard is, grieving is a process, recovery is a decision. Grieving is a process.
So true.
Recovery is a decision. But also know, both in dealing with children from a divorce situation, I don't care how much parents try to keep the home situation the same,
it does affect the children because now dad is gone or mom is gone. So when parents say, we're trying to keep the home situation the same and it certainly doesn't affect the children, that's baloney. They are affected. But the one thing, I'll say this on the air, it's so important for parents to say over and over again to a child, I love you, we love you, it's not your fault. Not because children automatically put the blame on themselves in a divorce situation. Like, if I was a better boy, a better girl, if I had better grades, if I cleaned my room, mommy and daddy wouldn't divorce. And that thing about need to talk out the feelings is so, so important.
And Amy, we're in the middle now of a country at war, and part of this idea of bereavement and dealing with grief is more than just brought on by a death of a loved one, but in some cases, mother or father going off to a far-off distant land for an extended period of time. What have you seen, especially with the U.S. Troop deployment ramped up as it has been over the past several years, in your work in dealing with children that are left behind or spouses that are left behind?
Well, unfortunately, in our society, we don't do a very good job of dealing with grief in any form. People often don't even understand that grief occurs from things other than a death or a divorce. That grief is really dealing with the breaking of an attachment, the breaking of some of a familiar routine, of a familiar relationship. It can occur in lots of different ways. So when someone is deployed overseas, especially for long periods of time, I've got one family right now where he was deployed over to the Middle East for about 18 months. He came back, and they thought he was done, and now he's being sent over to Ethiopia for another 18 months. It's very difficult for them to deal with. The military does the best job they can, but once they're outside the military, it's very hard to get the support they need from the community and honestly, from the church.
Is a big piece of dealing with grief at whatever level and whatever under whatever conditions, Lori, all about support networks? Rainbows can only do so much. A bereavement counselor can only do so much. But at the end of the day, when that session is over or that retreat is or meeting has ended, it's really critical, it seems to me, that that youngster or that spouse or that family goes back to some type of support mechanism that is going to kind of reinforce what they've heard at a Rainbow session. Is that true?
Well, what we try to do is always get the children to bring back what they've learned in Rainbows to their family when they're comfortable with it. So one of the things we tell them is it's confidential. What goes on in the group stays in the group. But if you want to start talking to your family about what this session was about, you can go ahead and do that. We've had many families that are in individual counseling say nothing was happening with that individual counseling till the 10-year-old also joined Rainbows and started putting feeling words together and saying, this is what I want, this is what I need.
So sometimes the children are a catalyst to getting adults to say
exactly
the words. If you want to jump in the conversation here, 312-255-8408, 312-255-8408 on Catholic Community Faith on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. We're dealing with the whole sense of grief, of loss, of suffering. Amy, you said something earlier on the air that by and large, we don't do a good job of grieving. Maybe for our listeners, what are some unhealthy ways you've seen people grieve, where the person thinks they're grieving well, but is actually in a very unhealthy way? And maybe state one or two ways in which people can grieve in a healthy way.
One of the biggest things, the phrase I so often hear is, oh, I just have to be strong. I have to be strong for the kids. What does that mean? That means I can't cry. I can't show my emotions. I can't be vulnerable. I can't deal with, I have to stuff it down and paste on a happy face. The grief is never going to go away. Plus, what message are you giving to the kids? If my husband dies and my child sees me.
Yep.
Amy, are you with
and
us?
And this is Dad. Oh. Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay,
are you
go
still
ahead
there?
Yeah, okay, we lost for a second. Keep going.
The message the child gets is, my mom doesn't even miss Dad. Adults don't miss Dad. What's the matter with me that I'm sad and nobody else is sad? It's unhealthy for the whole family if somebody feels like they have to be strong. Actually, it's much stronger to admit your emotions, to allow the tears, to admit your vulnerability, and it's much more healing to cry together than to say, oh, I can't cry because I have to be strong.
Amy, do we ever really stop grieving is the first part of the question. And the second part is do many people that you see and work with put on themselves undue pressure or expectations that at some point they should no longer be in a grieving mode, or at some point they should no longer worry or have the concerns that they had early on? Or is this a process that just becomes part and parcel of the rest of one's life?
Significant griefs are a lifelong process. When someone you deeply love dies or is no longer separated from you for whatever reason, you will be ambushed for the rest of your life. At first, you may cry every 15 minutes, and then after a while you realize, oh, I went for 2 hours and didn't cry. Oh, I went a whole day and didn't cry. Oh, my gosh, I went a week and didn't cry. The good times become more frequent. The bad times become less intense and farther apart. But you can still be ambushed 15, 20, 25 years afterwards when something happens, something triggers it. A grandchild graduates. You hear a song on a radio. Whatever. You can get ambushed. We don't realize that, and again, our society doesn't do a good job. We say to people, it's been 3 months. Don't you think you ought to put this behind you and get on with your life now?
Yeah. So what you all say is,
you're still crying?
When we are ambushed, it's okay to go at the moment and shed the tear.
Absolutely.
We're going to go to break here on Catholic Community of Faith, and I'm Father Greg Sackowitz along with Wayne Majar. Our guests are Amy Florian and Lori Ulbrich. 312-255-8408 on Catholic Community of Faith and Relevant Radio 950. We'll be back in a moment, and do not touch that dial.
Chicago Bears executive Pat McCaskey attended a Catholic elementary school, high school, and university. He's glad he did.
The Bears have always emphasized community work, and I learned how to do that in the Catholic schools.
The Catholic schools of Cook and Lake Counties enjoy extremely high attendance and graduation rates, and they put students on a clear-cut path to college.
My wife and I have been blessed with 3 sons. We want our sons to continue to attend faith-based schools.
Pat McCaskey is backing a new Catholic schools initiative, Lessons That Last a Lifetime. Call 312-655-8486 for more information. That's 312-655-8486. Support Lessons That Last a Lifetime.
Good character and gospel values are just as important as good grades.
And welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM, 952 on a Friday morning. Wayne Majar and Father Greg Sackowitz talking with Lori Ulbrich and Amy Florian about dealing with grief, both parents, children, siblings. During the break, Lori, we were talking about the importance of volunteers to keep all of what Rainbow does going, and that's a critical piece for most organizations, most nonprofit groups that provide this kind of service to a very broad part of the population. Would you say that in your volunteer population, there are also examples, and maybe you could cite one or so, of volunteers that volunteer because it's part of their grieving process?
Oh, certainly, certainly. We're 25 years old right now, and we've helped 2.2 million children. And with each one of those children is a loving listener. So last year, there were 127,000 active facilitators working with the children. And many, many of those, as we train in the Chicago area, come forward after we work with them and say, you know, I could have been a kid of Rainbow's. I should have had this program, or I should have had it for my own kids. So that comes up quite often. We do want to, you know, reach out to all of them and thank everyone that has ever done Rainbow's for us during our 25 years. And it's so important to know that anyone can train for Rainbow's if they have that feeling of wanting to help children through their grief. And business is changing at Rainbow's, so we are online training. We'll be ready for Rainbow's in about 2 months, and we will have people from all over the world training for Rainbows and opening up new groups.
Now, you have a big event coming up on March 2nd.
Do.
Say a word about that,
The Caritas event is the end of our 25th anniversary celebration. Caritas means caring, and it's for all those wonderful people who have cared, and it's March 2nd at the Four Seasons, and you can call us at 800-266-3206.
The number once again?
800-266-3206.
And what about people who would like to maybe volunteer regarding Rainbows?
Certainly can call the same number.
Okay.
And if you're a parent or a grandparent or anyone who needs to help a child, call us. We'll work with you to find a site and also send you a parent packet of information.
What
to
about
help
the web?
You.
Give us a web.
www.rainbows.org.
Okay. And Amy, talking about grief and suffering, your own story is, you are a well-known speaker nationally. What are some of the most commonly asked questions of you at the end of your presentation? What do people sometimes most commonly ask you about?
It really varies a lot, but most of the time people come up and say, thank you for letting me know I'm not crazy.
Okay.
The questions I get asked are more often, how do I deal with this family member, or this person seems to be really stuck in their grief. What can I do to help them? Or I'm really stuck in my grief. Where can I turn? Or asking for resources.
How do you know if you're stuck, Amy? Or do you?
That's harder to determine than we usually recognize, because you plateau. Grief is not a linear process. You don't just start at point zero and then move up at the same pace, at the same rate, in a straight line. You go up and down and up and down and up and down. In fact, it's very common between 4 and 9 months after a death to have another very sad period, because the shock is wearing off. The reality's sinking in. Oh, my gosh, he's really not coming back. That doesn't mean you're stuck. You're healing, just that you're going up and down and up and down as you heal. People who truly are stuck, you know, people can feel stuck when they're not. People who truly are stuck are people who still, a couple of years afterward, have not processed the emotions, have not dealt with it at all. They can't look at a picture. They can't be where their loved one used to be. They just cannot face it at all, even after a substantial period of time.
Yeah, Laurie, we know every situation is different, but is it safe to say that a majority of people kind of deal with it on two things? They deal with it at their own pace and in their own steps, and they pretty much deal with it within the family structure, within the family support systems that are around them, and they really may not need to reach out to some outside resource like Rainbows to help them.
Well, when I think about children, I just try to think of guiding them through their life storm. And that storm could very well be Rainbows. And we can share our umbrellas with the kids that need it. And the parents typically will be the ones that reach out for those kids.
The thing that hits me is that two thoughts on that is, number one is, great line goes like this, things we take in quietly come out in noisy ways. So we think we're sometimes hiding the grief and all that, but it comes out in noisy ways. And also, in hard times, we say to God, why me? And yet in good times, we should also say, why me? Want to say thank you in a very special way to our guest, Lori Ulbrich, Vice President of Rainbows, and to Amy Florian, who is a liturgist in terms of liturgy and bereavement consultant, grief coach. Want to thank Lori and Amy for joining us here today on Catholic Community of Faith. Thank you to co-host Wayne Madjars.
Happy birthday
again.
Thank
you very much for
doing that second collection at the parish this weekend for your travel fund. It's nice to do that.
And thank you very much to our producer, Jim Dish, engineer, Michael May. God bless. Great weekend to all.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day and God bless you.